This is the World. I'm Lisa Mullins. The fate of Augusto Pinochet lies in the hands of the Chilean courts. Prosecutors want to try the former dictator on criminal charges relating to attacks on leftists shortly after he seized power in 1973. More than 3,000 people disappeared or died in political violence while Pinochet ran Chile. Four of them were Americans, one of whom is still officially missing. Boris Weisfeller disappeared while hiking in the Andes in 1985. Although his body was never found, Chilean police ruled that Weisfeller accidentally drowned. But there are many skeptics, among them the Weisfeller family. The World's Quill Lawrence has been investigating the case, and the trail led him into the mountains of southern Chile.
By all accounts, 43-year-old Boris Weisfeller loved this sort of thing. A lonely dirt track, a backdrop of stunning snow-capped mountains, and not another human being in sight. Weisfeller had walked a long road before reaching this spot in January of 1985. Born a Jew in Moscow under Soviet repression, he emigrated to the U.S. in 1975 and became a citizen 6 years later. By then, he was a full professor of mathematics at Penn State University. Mountaineering was his passion. He'd hiked in China, Eastern Europe, and Peru. Weisfeller had finished all but the last few miles of a 10-day solo hike in southern Chile when something went terribly wrong.
Él lo pasó a caballo. Lo pasaron para acá.
Hernán Fernández is the Chilean lawyer hired by the Weisfeller family to look into the case. He's yet to reach any conclusions as to why an American tourist might have disappeared, but he's decided to start from scratch, following the original police report from 1985. That brings him to the hamlet of San Fabián, at the confluence of the Sauces and Nuble rivers, to re-interview the last people who saw Weisfeller alive. Fernandez says even today, everyone living along the river remembers the case. Most are afraid to talk, and with reason. The key witness, Luis Alberto López, testified in 1985 that he had told the police about a traveling foreigner, and they set out in pursuit. Only López's testimony linked the police to Weisfeller. A year later, López was dead, hanging from the cable car bridge across the Nuble River. The police said it was suicide. The same old-fashioned cable car still connects the two high banks of the river. A young boy cranks the car by hand, ferrying people across one at a time.
Habían huellas de Boris en este lado, y que en la ribera, en la otra orilla, ya no existía.
Fernandez says this cable car was here 16 years ago when Weisfeller would have crossed. If he'd wanted to wade across instead, the river is low, just like it was in January of 1985. It's hard to accept that a fit, experienced hiker would have drowned in 2 feet of water. But no one really believes that Weisfeller drowned. In fact, the case has been reopened following a huge release of classified U.S. documents, which suggest that Weisfeller could have been alive for many years after his disappearance. According to Peter Kornbluh of the nonprofit National Security Archive in Washington, the U.S. never challenged the Pinochet regime's official story.
The documents reveal stunning facts about how the U.S. Embassy and the U.S. State Department in the mid and late 1980s handled the disappearance of an American citizen in Chile. Knowing that it was very likely that Boris Weisfeller did not drown in the river, as the Chilean military government claimed, having informants and tips of information that suggested that he had been abducted, detained, and disappeared by the Chilean military, did not seem to spur the embassy to quick action.
According to the documents, a source, possibly a Chilean policeman, approached the U.S. embassy for the first time in 1987 to say that there was an American being held captive in the south. The source made repeated contact, but the embassy did nothing and claims not to know his name. As late as 1989, records reveal that a few U.S. officials wanted to investigate Weisfeller's case, but they were rebuffed. Peter Kornbluh.
There's a stunning set of records 4 years after Weisfeller disappeared that show that an embassy official wanted to actually hire a Chilean lawyer and open an official investigation into what happened to Boris Weisfeller. The State Department headquarters here during the first Bush administration dilly-dallied around on this, finally said that they could proceed, but only if the embassy had money in its own budget. And in the end, the financial officer said there was no money in the budget.
As late as 1997, the same source was making contact with Chilean congressmen and media. The current American ambassador to Chile, John O'Leary, says that the U.S. is now helping to investigate the reopened Weisfeller case. But these revelations about information the U.S. withheld for the last 15 years frustrate Olga Weisfeller, Boris Weisfeller's sister.
Yes, I inspected a lot. Justice, American influence, I came and found nothing.
Olga Weisfeller immigrated to the U.S. in 1988, and she now lives in Newton, Massachusetts. Since before she came to the U.S., she's worked to find out what happened to her brother. As with so many family members whose loved ones were disappeared in Chile, she can't let go until she knows the truth.
No, I never gave up. I always keep thinking about him. He's still alive, and I always hoping that, hold on, we will find you. And I still think it.
Part of the reason that the Weisfeller case has remained unsolved for so long has to do with the prison where he might have been held. He had no idea, but Weisfeller was hiking into territory belonging to a bizarre German Nazi cult known as Colonia Dignidad, infamous throughout South America. The cult's compound recalls Jonestown or Waco, with guns and very advanced surveillance equipment. Under Pinochet, the colony was tolerated and, allegedly, even put to use to imprison, torture, and dispose of supposed enemies of the regime. The gravel road which Hernán Fernández takes back from San Fabián passes right through Colonia Dignidad territory, and Fernández is visibly nervous. The police have entered the main compound several times in recent years, but they've never fully searched the grounds. Members of the cult are wealthy and still influential. Fernandez can only speculate why Weisfeller would have been captured or killed. Perhaps the police thought he was a spy, or perhaps the cult saw the Jewish surname on his passport. There is no sensible explanation. But at this point, any explanation, or any information at all, would at least let Weisfeller's family put their grief to rest. For the world, I'm Quill Lawrence, San Fabián, Chile.